You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Do we call it a win streak? I don't know. Is two games a win streak? I guess we could call it that. Bengals beat the Houston Texans in Houston and improved to 4-10-1. The Cincinnati Bengals beat Deshaun Watson on his home turf, 37-31. Very entertaining up and down, back and forth game. A lot to like if you are a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Maybe some, maybe winning isn't pleasing to you at this point in time. Who knows? I'm Anthony Cazenza with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. Good to have all of you with us on the post-game show here. Coming at you a little bit after the Bengals beat Houston here. We've now got the late games going on, a couple of interesting ones going on, and we'll get to some scores around the league, but we got to talk about this one first. Look, Bengals' first win streak in Zach Taylor's tenure. If you want to call it two games in a row a win streak, you can. But first win streak he has ever had as the Bengals head coach in almost two full seasons. First road win that he has had as Bengals head coach, and the first one since all the way back early in 2018 when the Bengals came back and beat the Falcons in that exciting game, the A.J. Green sliding catch for the win in that one, all the way back early in 2018. So it's been a long time since the Bengals have had a road win, whether it was with Marvin Lewis or Zach Taylor. But Zach Taylor's first road game, first win streak, and now he has doubled his win total this season with four, if you want to count the tie, fine, but four wins, doubling last year. And now the Bengals close out against the Ravens, and a pretty interesting opportunity presenting itself for the Cincinnati Bengals coming up here as they host their division rivals, who had a I believe they beat the Giants today, so we'll have to double check on that. But you know, they have a good opportunity to maybe play a spoiler role there. All of a sudden, Zach Taylor is got this team moving in a better direction. You can credit the play calling today and him. There was a lot of good play calls that were going on today, especially involving the running backs. And we'll get to some stats. We'll get to some, a couple of sound bites and other things going on here. I'm seeing already some comments here in the live chat. You know, I guess the one bad thing about trying to turn a corner too late in the year for the Bengals is, you know, losing some draft status. But by what I've seen and by what some comments are telling me here, I did look at it before I took the air. Looks like the Bengals are kind of in the sixth position, so they have fallen out of the top five currently with that 4-10-1. That tie really kind of throwing things for a loop. You do have the tiebreaker over Houston now that they beat them. Houston is now 4-11. And so now the Bengals, you know, depending on if you're all in on Penei Sewell, you know, that may not be attainable at number six. You may have to move up or do some different things if you're the Cincinnati Bengals to get that player. Otherwise, you know, you may need to do some different things. You also may be in a situation where number six may not be, if you stay there, you may not be in a spot to be able to move back because quarterbacks will probably go within those top five picks. So, a little bit of a precarious position, but hey, you know, if the Bengals want to get a top wide receiver, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, one of the two great, Waddle or Smith from Alabama, you know, they could add a player that way. You know, if they're not able to move back and maybe they don't have one of the other offensive linemen not named Penei Sewell you know, up there on their board. Look, we've talked about this on a couple of different shows. When it comes to the offseason, the Cincinnati Bengals attack free agency, and I use the term attack loosely, trust me, but they attack free agency to address their needs. That's where they get their needs. They try and, you know, and then later in the summer months, they try to extend some of their key guys that are set to hit free agency the following year. So they try and attack free agency for their needs. They try not to go into the draft saying, we need to take this position. We need to take this player. We need to take this position group. They try and stick to best available player, best available guy on their board. That's what they try and do in the draft. So I think we all know that offensive line has to be addressed early, but you know, they may look at some things, and we'll talk more about some of the stuff today too, about the offensive line performance, but they may look at some things and say, you know, we attack that in free agency, whether it's interior offensive line, a Joe Tooney or Brandon Scherff, or, you know, somebody like that, that can help shore up the offensive line. Maybe you re-sign a Quentin Spain. And then, you know, if you're able to get Sewell, great. Otherwise, maybe you look at an Alex Leatherwood, something like that, in the draft. I would expect, though, that an offensive lineman would be taken in the first two rounds, despite what the Bengals do in free agency. But enough about the draft. We've got a lot of time to talk about the draft and what the Bengals will be able to do. We got to talk about this one and what we saw today. I'm going to share a couple of different things with you, one of which right now I'm going to share this little clip of Zach Taylor. This is the press conference, and it is on Bengals.com. You can find it there. This is Zach Taylor just kind of talking about how good it feels to get a win and a second one in a row. So I am going to play that for you here. This is the voice you hear, I believe, will be Ben Baby of ESPN, good friend of our show. It'll be Ben Baby asking a question of Zach Taylor, and he's going to respond to that there. So hang tight one sec.
Zach, for y'all to win this type of game, I mean, y'all had to come back there in the fourth quarter with a backup quarterback, first road win since 2018. I'm sure that hasn't been lost on you. What does it say that y'all were able to win this type of game?
It just tells you everything you got to know about the character and the resolve of this football team. And like I told him, we practiced in 10-degree weather on Christmas Day, you know, to come down and play a game in Houston. And not one guy, I didn't hear one guy complain about it. They all knew that we had to get some work done before we were going to come win this big game. And just couldn't be prouder of the work that they put in here in week 16. We're out of the playoff hunt. It's easy for guys to check out right now, and we haven't had a single player do it. And just proud to coach these guys.
Zach, you always.
So that's kind of the theme, I guess, of this post-game show, the theme of the Cincinnati Bengals right now. I guess it's, what do you believe, right? What do you believe about this team and its current state? By the way, I don't know if you can see above me. I'm in my nephew's room. There's a couple of Star Wars things hanging up there. So for you Star Wars fans, you can check that out. This isn't my bedroom, I promise. It's my nephew's bedroom. I was watching the game with a couple of family members. At any rate, what do you believe about this team? I think that's kind of the theme as to what we've been seeing these past few weeks. My colleague Matt Minnick, if you follow him on Twitter, which I'm sure a lot of you do, he has talked quite a bit about, look, if you look at Lou Anarumo's defense, these guys haven't quit. You know, there are a lot of guys that are still making plays through the losses, through the personnel losses and injuries. A lot of guys are still making a lot of plays and playing hard. Zach Taylor just mentioned, you know, they had a practice on Christmas Day, short week, a lot of emotion. I thought the Bengals had a good chance. Houston's not a great team. They're not playing all that well. They've had a lot of turmoil, but they still have J.J. Watt. They still have Deshaun Watson. They still have a lot of players on the team, but they're just not having a good season. I thought this was a very winnable game, as I'm sure a lot of us did. But to go down there, short week, a lot of emotion being an effort being exuded on Monday night against Pittsburgh, and to show up and play well in Houston on the road during a holiday week, the whole thing. Right. This had a potential to just kind of be a disastrous type of situation for the Bengals, where they just, you know, didn't rebound well off of that win. It's, I guess, rebound's not the right word, but you felt like maybe there was could be an inability for them to carry the momentum into this week and maybe lay an egg. And they didn't. The defense didn't play very well, obviously letting up 31 points. But, you know, the offense played outstanding. Zach Taylor's play calling was outstanding, and you know, these guys aren't quitting. And to Zach Taylor's point, to what with the clip I just played, you know, they're still grinding. They're still playing hard. And so it's kind of like now we've got in almost two full seasons, we've got six total wins and a tie in the Zach Taylor era. He finally gets his first road win. He finally strings together back-to-back wins late in this season when the Bengals are way out of the playoff race. Their franchise quarterback is hurt. But what do you believe? Do you believe that this team still is behind their head coach? Do you think that this team is still behind these assistant coaches, the position coaches, based on what we've been seeing these past few weeks without Joe Burrow in the lineup? I think now we can say, for those who don't want Zach Taylor to be here or for those who do, I think we can say after these two wins, he's probably getting another shot in 21. And he's probably getting it with, you know, Joe Burrow coming back and everything. They're probably going to give him another shot. That may come with some strings attached, get rid of some assistants. You know, if Mike Zimmer maybe gets let go, it's like, hey, Zach, you can stay for this year and prove yourself, but you're bringing Mike Zimmer as your defensive coordinator. And maybe that lights the fire under the chair a little bit for Zach, having a veteran, former head coach potentially come in as his defensive coordinator and give him a short leash. I don't know. I'm just totally conjecturing here. But, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, but I think Zach Taylor is here for next year. So what do you believe about this team? Do you believe it based on these two wins at the end of the season? And maybe they parlay it into next week and they play spoiler for the Ravens. And that would be a nice win for Zach Taylor and carry some momentum. I know there's been a lot of talk, both in our pregame show by Narragansett Beer, in that show, as well as in other outlets that cover the Bengals, there's been a lot of talk of, hey, you know, Bruce Coslett did this, ended a season well, didn't go anywhere the next year. LeBeau, same thing. Didn't go anywhere, right? And the difference being, if Zach Taylor is in the same boat as those two former head coaches, the difference is he's got Burrow in his back pocket. Coslett, LeBeau, I mean, they had John Kitna, Keeley Smith, Scott Mitchell, all kinds of different guys, right? So is that enough for us who have been kind of beaten up on Zach Taylor? Is that enough for all of us that follow, root for, cover the Cincinnati Bengals? Is that enough to start kind of believing that maybe a corner is being turned? Brandon Allen today threw for the most passing yards since Carson Palmer. And we'll pull that up in just a little bit. You saw that stat on the Fox graphic there. I looked up quickly. I tried to look up some Andy Dalton stats to make sure. I thought Andy Dalton had thrown for that much. There was one game in 2013 where Dalton threw for like 372 yards. So it was close, but I mean, Brandon Allen played outstanding today, and all of a sudden, it's interesting what happens in this offense when you're able to run the ball, when you're able to utilize those running backs in the passing game. You look like a completely different team, and I think that you would like to think that this is something that Zach Taylor has wanted to do for 2 years, and for some reason, you know, Giovanni Bernard has been kind of withering away on the bench. And a lot of different guys are just not being used in the first parts of these two seasons we've seen under Zach Taylor. And at the end of the year, you know, there's kind of some nice blossoming from some of these players or they produce with increased time. So I'm kind of making a circle back. What do you believe about this team? What do you believe about this team? Yeah, I think some of you guys are right. 407 against the Browns for Joe Burrow. I think I may have misread that Fox graphic. It might have been on the road, so I'll have to double check. But there was a graphic about most by since Carson Palmer. It didn't strike me as right either. It sounded a little weird. It might have been on the road, so I'll have to double check that one. Fact check Fox Sports on that. But at any rate, I mean, still, regardless, Brandon Allen had an outstanding day. Brandon Allen had an outstanding day. And, you know, I see here David Fussner says, Taylor has actually put this team in position to win the last two games with game plan suited for the quarterback, limited Finley throwing, and used his legs to win. Yeah. Thank you. Malcolm. Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. No, you read it right. They were just wrong. I didn't think that sounded right, but when Fox put that up, I'm like, there's no way that was the highest passing. You know, it may have been something about on the road or something. There had to be some caveat to that because I saw that and I'm like, that does not sound right. So thank you, Malcolm. I knew I wasn't going crazy. Oh, Fox Sports. Come on. Get with it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Look, I mean, yeah, cringe wizard. The graphic said most yards since 2005. That's what I saw, and it just didn't sound right. Anyway, so I'm not gonna bang that drum too hard. But look, that's kind of where we're at. I'm going to go over some stats in just a second here. We can be happy about the win and two wins back-to-back. I mean, hey, you beat Pittsburgh in primetime, and you beat Deshaun Watson on his home field. I know Houston isn't who they used to be in you know, from a year or 2 years ago, but when you beat Deshaun Watson on his home field, you got to like that, and you have to like that you beat the Steelers on primetime. And then if you get that win next week against the Ravens, and maybe you play some spoiler there, you got to feel pretty good about that one too. So, it's kind of the more questions than answers at this point. That's kind of how I feel a little bit about it. I think we were all certain 3 weeks ago about that Zach wasn't the guy, you know. We were still pretty sure that the Bengals were going to stick with him at that point, but we were pretty sure that Zach wasn't the guy, that sort of thing. And now all of a sudden he's rattled off these couple of wins that you kind of take a step back and say, well, you know, he's doing it with Ryan Finley and Brandon Allen as his quarterbacks. Brandon Allen probably proved to a lot of people that he should be at least looked at as a viable backup option for next year for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he, you know, kudos to Ryan Finley for what he did. A gutsy performance against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense probably is a bit better, especially at rushing the passer than Houston. Houston knows how to rush the passer though as well. But still, I mean, Brandon Allen was really impressive today. So let's take a look at some of these. I'm going to share a tweet real quick too. This is kind of playing into the what do you believe and the mindset of the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. Marcus Bailey, rookie linebacker, got some time today on special teams and on defense. Rough day for him. He had a penalty on a big kickoff return by Brandon Wilson, and he let up he was on coverage in a touchdown that Deshaun Watson threw late in the fourth quarter. You know, and he said, here's a tweet he put out recently. And we like Marcus Bailey. He's been on our show. Great guy. I think he's got a real bright future. But you got to like this mindset, even though it's just a, you know, maybe we're reading too much into a tweet here. But great, great team win. Need to learn from my mistakes and continue to improve. Hashtag who day. So this is, you know, again, you kind of look at, is that more, a little bit more of the culture that they're trying to build and some of the guys that they've been bringing into the building that Zach's been telling us. We hadn't been seeing the fruits of those labors, but I don't know. I guess I just saw that tweet and it kind of resonated with me a little bit, especially when you start asking questions like, what do you believe about this team? I'm going to go through some stats by both teams here. I'm going to try and make this pretty quick. I know sometimes we go through these. I'm going to go both on NFL.com, their scores, and a little bit from ESPN as well. If you look here, Brandon Allen 371. Yeah, see there's I saw the Dalton had 372 in 2013. There was something wrong with that graphic. But 29 of 37 for 371, two touchdowns. Look, the plan was this. What I really liked about this, the Bengals used a lot of short, kind of controlled passing, a lot of stuff to the running backs, design screens, that sort of thing. I think Greg Jennings, who was on the call, said something to the effect of, you know, I think that's the 10th screen pass we've seen by the Bengals today. You know, he was exaggerating, obviously, but I mean, there was a lot of that stuff. But then it set up his ability to throw some deep balls, some jump balls to T. Higgins, and they took advantage on a couple of occasions. They missed on a couple, but they tried to take advantage of that, and it was kind of a nice play design. It was like, you know, lull the Houston defense to sleep a little bit, try and run the ball, find some balance, but lull them to sleep with kind of short, you know, the predictable stuff to the running backs to try and keep it safe for their backup quarterback. And as the Houston defense maybe gets a little more comfortable with that, you hit them over the top. And Brandon Allen was pretty gutsy with some of those throws there. So 371, two touchdowns. Great day from him. Here's the big stuff, guys. I mean, great days from Samaje Perine and Gio Bernard. 29 carries there. 170 yards between the both of them. So you got to really like that. Two touchdowns by Perine, including the big one at the end there. Almost 7.5 yards per carry by Perine, 4.1 by Gio. So just nice days by both of them. Trevion Williams getting into the mix as well with 6 yards. Higgins, big day. He passed the Chris Collinsworth for the most receptions in Bengals history as a rookie receiver. So 6 catches, 99 yards and a touchdown. It's still on 9 targets. There were a couple of misses there. One, he came down with one on the sideline, and unfortunately, he bounced off of defenders. He wasn't able to get his feet down, but a couple of really, really nice plays. That touchdown reception by Higgins in that corner of the end zone was great. Erickson had a nice day today, stepping in for Tyler Boyd, who was injured with a concussion. 6 catches, 88 yards, caught all 6 targets. And a couple of them were big ones. Gio Bernard getting very involved in the passing game. 7 catches by him, 66 yards. AJ Green, couple of nice catches. Did have a drop, 4 catches, 64 yards. And Perine, again, so you see 11 catches between the two backs and over 100 yards receiving between the two of them, 107 total between Bernard and Perine. So a lot of good stuff. Sample had the touchdown on their opening drive there. Got to like that, too. Good to see him involved. You saw our first look at Trenton Irwin, 1 catch for 5 yards on 2 targets there. Bengals forcing more turnovers on defense, too. Even though they let up a lot of yards and gave up a lot of points, they forced 2 fumbles. They only recovered 1, but they were atrocious at creating turnovers this year. And it's no coincidence in these 2 games they've been able to create some turnovers. And the one they had today was at a critical, critical moment. The Bengals had a slim lead, a 3-point lead. Deshaun Watson was kind of moving it a little bit. And then Sam Hubbard, who has played great since his return from the elbow injury, strip sack goes right into Marcus Hunt's lap as he's as he's there on the defensive line, makes the recovery. Bengals get another field goal, and that was kind of that. William Jackson left the game with an injury. That wasn't great to see. Darius Phillips had 2 passes defended today. So and then you see the rest of the stats here. 9 total tackles by Darius Phillips. Von Bell, 8 total tackles. LaShawn Sims, rough day for LaShawn Sims. A couple of occasions, he had 5 tackles on a couple of them. He was just hanging on to jersey for dear life just to try and slow somebody down. So tough day for LaShawn Sims. And, you know, again, it's kind of the BW Webb effect, right? You sign a guy thinking, he's, you know, good option as your number 4 corner, number 5 corner, maybe number 3 corner if things get dicey. But when he has to come in and start on the boundary, he's just not a starting caliber corner. I think he's a good, a good guy to bolster your cornerback group, a good back end guy. But just, you know, when you can see the struggles, unfortunately, for LaShawn Sims when he comes in and, tries to roll into a starting position. Pratt had 5 tackles, one of which, a tackle for loss, a great play. I think it was in the second half. Great play by him, too. So, still only 1 sack. Hubbard, only 1 turnover, but it was arguably the biggest play of the game there. So you gotta like that. Let's look at the Houston side of the ball. Watson, 324 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Big game by him, 24 of 33. You know, David Johnson, 128 yards. I mean, 10, almost 11 yards per carry for David Johnson. 12 carries, 128 yards, and a touchdown. That's David Johnson of old right there. And Watson had 38 yards on 5 carries as well. You know, Brandon Cook's huge day, but part of that was that weird lateral play at the end. 7 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown there. Fells had the touchdown, and David Johnson had a touchdown receiving as well. So big day by both Deshaun Watson and David Johnson. We'll go down here. Look at Zach Cunningham. Oh, 14 total tackles. He put a lick on P. Ryan. He was everywhere, and then you can kind of see some of these other guys here. I'm going to look at the team stats via ESPN, and then we'll pop on out of here. That was from NFL.com, so we're going to look real quickly at ESPN, some of the team statistics, and I think it's pretty telling again. I mean, you look at it, look up here, you know, you see the first downs. Bengals have 4 more first downs, 27 to 23. 4 more passing first downs, 18 to 14. 1 less rushing first down, 7 to 8. They did get a couple of breaks from penalties. So 2 penalties created first downs for the Bengals. That was kind of big, and a couple of those were late. 6 of 13 on third down, 1 of 2 on fourth down. So nothing real spectacular in either of those areas. But, you know, the Texans were 4 of 9 themselves on third downs. They didn't try any fourth downs. So, you know, it was just kind of – it was okay. It was okay by both teams on third down and fourth down there. But look at the play disparity, 71 to 51. Bengals ran 20 more plays than the Houston Texans. And then look at the total yards. We've got over 1,000 yards of offense here, guys, 540 to 488. And then you see both had 11 drives. Houston actually had more yards per play by two yards per play, 9.6 to 7.6. And Bengals had more passing yards, 371 to 322. Rushing yards, pretty even. Bengals were able to run the ball at will, 169 to 166. Bengals, though, did it on way more attempts, 33 rushing attempts to 17. So, you know, big difference there. Manageable penalties. I mean, again, a couple of the Houston penalties resulted in Bengals first down, so that was kind of big. But neither team was, like, crazy with penalties. It was 5 penalties for 35 yards. For the Bengals, 6 penalties for 46 yards for the Texans. And really the only turnover, you know, the only turnover was the big difference in the game there by Houston at the end there. They lost the fumble. Look at the time of possession, though. Oh, 36-10 to 23-50. The Bengals just hogged the football. And, you know, you look at Siebert missed a long field goal from 49 yards. I mean, the Bengals could have been a little bit more in control there. That, you know, there was a touchdown that was missed, and one of the few bad plays by Brandon Allen, a touchdown pass that was missed early in the game. So I mentioned AJ Green had a drop. So, I mean, there were some plays left out there by the Bengals, but all in all, I mean, when you're not turning the ball over, you're running for basically 170 yards and you're passing for close to 400, you're going to win that game. That's just kind of how it is. And of course, you know, you look at the time of possession as well. So, I mean, a lot of things just pointed to a Bengals dominated performance in this one. And a lot of it on offense. There was some tackling issues on defense, as I mentioned, but overall, you know, you got to kind of, yeah, Russ Blackthorne here in YouTube, ball control, baby. And, you know, I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, it's a passing league, and, you know, you got to let Burrow throw the ball and all that kind of stuff. And I totally agree with that. You're going to win with your quarterback, but I think you're starting to see, you know, you're starting to see why Kansas City drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, brought in Le'Veon Bell, basically have a stable of running backs that are able to run and catch. It when you have that extra dimension, it helps your quarterback. It brings an outlet to them that, you know, it's hard for a team to defend. And I think if you're able to run the ball and bring some balance to offense, that takes pressure off your quarterback too. So, you know, I know you want to see Burrow throw the ball over the field, and we saw a lot of that this year. I think maybe just because I'm a little bit of an old school, a little more throwback guy, I would like to see the Bengals balance it out a little bit more, not only just to keep Burrow more upright, limit the hits, et cetera, keep him healthier, but I just would like to see you know, it leads to wins when you're able to balance it out on offense. Now, there's going to be days where your quarterback, where you're not going to be able to run the ball, and your quarterback needs to throw for 400, 500 yards, and you need him to be the stud, a Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick. You need him. There's going to be games that the Bengals will need that from Joe Burrow. There are other days where Joe Burrow may have an off day. It happens. It happens to Patrick Mahomes. I think they only scored 17 points today against the Atlanta Falcons at home. And so, I mean, the quarterback's going to have off days, and you need these other weapons to step up, particularly in the run game. Quickly, going around the AFC North, interesting day around the AFC North. Let's start with Pittsburgh, who was going – they were hosting Indianapolis. Indianapolis – had a, gosh, what was it, a 24-7 lead over Pittsburgh at one point in the game. Pittsburgh charges back and wins 28-24. So they go to 12-3, stop that three-game skid. Indianapolis falls to 10-5, and they're kind of clinging to their playoff life here. It's a pretty interesting scrum at the back end of the AFC playoff picture, but Pittsburgh ends up pulling one out, scored 21 unanswered to come back and beat Indianapolis. Again, of course, the Bengals beat the Texans 37-31. The Ravens take care of the Giants in Baltimore 27-13. Bengals take on Baltimore next week in the season regular season finale. Baltimore is 10-5. So again, that scrum at the end there makes it real interesting. Pittsburgh, I believe, clinched. Yeah, they clinched the AFC North with that win, by the way, over Indianapolis. So they are your division champs, whereas the Ravens are trying to scramble for a wild card. And then the Browns, who are also scrambling for a wild card, go to New York and just drop one to the Jets, who all of a sudden have won two in a row. They're 2-13, 23-16. And this was ugly for a while for Cleveland. Baker Mayfield had a couple of turnovers, and it was just an ugly one. So the Browns lose to the Jets, and they too are 10-5. So they are now trying to scramble for one of those playoff spots in the AFC as well. So interesting situation with the AFC playoff picture. I'm going to get on out of here, guys, but again, I just kind of want to leave you with it's kind of a rhetorical question, I guess, but what do you make of this? What do you believe about the Cincinnati Bengals? What do you believe about Zach Taylor? What do you believe about the direction of this team? Are you encouraged by these two wins? Is this the, what do you call that? The dead cat bounce, I think some people say, at the end of a year that's been lost for a while. You don't have your franchise quarterback. Are you still saddened by things? Or are you encouraged by things that you've seen? Are you still wait and see because of what happens, what could happen next week? You know, Burrow's recovery. That's just, just kind of food for thought, because there are a lot of different logical ways to take what we've been seeing over the past couple of weeks. You got to like the wins, you got to like the response by the team, and you got to like certain guys stepping up in the wake of injury to play well. But, you know, we do have a pretty large sample size of Zach Taylor now. And do you take the early part of his career, or do you take these last couple of games here and try and run with the encouragement? Food for thought. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, what's left of it. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you do or do not celebrate. I know I am excited for 21. I am ready for 2020 to be over, which we're under a week away. So Happy New Year if we don't see you. We will be back next week with the Monday News Jump tomorrow. We will be back with the Wednesday Deep Dive Analysis Show with myself and John Sheeran. We'll have more Chalk Talk episodes from Matt Minnick. Ace and Zim will be bringing you Orange is the New Black on the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. We've got John Sheeran doing his weekly lineman now. That's going to be a new thing on the YouTube channel, so check it out there. And all of your opinions, analysis, updates, news, all that stuff is going to be on cincyjungle.com. But we appreciate all the support you have shown us this year. We've had a lot of different guests. We've had a lot of different shows. We've tried to do a lot of different things on our podcast channel, and our numbers, thanks to you all, speak for themselves. We can't thank you enough for all the support. We appreciate everything that, you know, your feedback and all, you know, all of your interactions in the live chats that you guys bring us. We can't thank you enough. So appreciate it. Enjoy the win. Bengals win two in a row, 37-31. They beat Houston in Houston. And the Bengals are on a win streak, baby. Two-game win streak. See you next week.